Down to Business. Sponsored by Flowgas. On the grid, off the grid. Flowgas is Ireland's only supplier of LPG and natural gas. Wherever you are.
Summertime has arrived, and that can only mean one thing. It's time to grab your wellies, pack up your tent, and celebrate the start of the festive season. This week in our industry review, we're looking at festivals and what does Ireland have to offer the music lovers this summer. And indeed, we've won winter festival as well. So I'm delighted to be joined by Barry O'Neill. He's the chairperson of the Rory Gallagher Festival. Avril Bannerton is the co-promoter of the Groove Festival. And Martin Hart is the CEO of the Temple Bar Company that run Temple Bar's Tradfest. You're all very welcome to the programme. I also am delighted to be joined by the granddaddy of these festivals, Mr. Philip King from Other Voices in Dingle. And I'll start with you, Philip, and say hello to, and good morning to you. How are you?
Good morning, Bobby. The rain has stopped in the west. That's the news. Anybody who is festival bound for any of these big or small festivals that are taking place, I mean, just every weekend really, and through the week, right through the summer, there's such a plethora of them now. I mean, they're dotted everywhere. And I just want to say one thing is that the U2 show will be fantastic. I saw them play in Berlin.
Oh, did you?
Last week, we brought our Other Voices festival to Berlin. And had a ball there. We did some work with U2 and sat down with Adam. They're sounding and looking great, and the screen is a revelation. And I just want to make just one point when we go back and talk about festivals in Ireland. They began, I suppose, when we think about it, would we say the trip to Tip? Would we say
Listoon Varna for me?
No.
Listoon Varna, Ballastadare,
yeah.
All of them. We attended them all. They were like analog festivals, if you like. They were fairly simple, fairly rudimentary in terms of tech. But speaking of business, what U2 did and what U2's crew did 30 years ago when the Joshua Tree became such a huge hit, it changed the economics of rock and roll forever. Because when they went back to Detroit to do their first gig on the original Joshua Tree tour, they were playing in an arena, something like the O2 or something like the Point was. 15,000 people. Yet there was a demand for them to play in a much larger venue like a stadium. So to enable the transition from arena to stadium, they had to develop sound and visual technologies that would enable that to happen. And they did that more successfully than anybody else. They were the first people into the field to make that happen. And you know, sourcing screens in Belgium and developing a relationship with Clare Brothers Audio in America, they changed the economics of rock and roll and made it possible for everybody to get into a very large stadium. And when you see the show in Croke Park today and you watch the 8K material on that screen and listen and see what's possible, they were part and parcel of that development. And it's a huge thank you should go to them for that.
No, I'm well said, Philip, and you're making me all excited now, even more excited than I was about the gig tonight. But to close out with you, Philip, in terms of what's required now at a festival, it is, and you related to Ballastadare, Listoon Varna, I was at them all, but it's so much more than the music now, Philip, isn't it?
Yes, I think it is so much more than the music. There are so many different elements involved. Whether you take a boutique festival that has grown into something very significant, like Body and Soul, whether you take a festival like Electric Picnic now, which has a different demographic, or a festival like Longitude that just recently passed, they all have a different sort of an offering.
Yeah.
And they try to differentiate themselves by having various different elements. Food is important. And political discussion, say, for example, at the Electric Picnic has become important. So it's that there's a diversity of offering as well as the music on offer. And I think that's become very, very important. Starting a festival, as your other guests will know, is difficult. It's challenging. And it's a frightening sort of a prospect, really. You see sort of independence and all these various different festivals beginning to grow into something that are gaining traction and gaining more people to come and see them. It's becoming a very, very crowded market.
Okay.
I'd like to make just one final comment, and it's this. that the notion of a community festival, something like Féilean na Bealtaine that we have here in West Kerry in Dingle, in and around the Maybank holiday weekend, is something that grows out of community, that is part of community, and that is not just a business. But there is something priceless about what happens at those festivals. And I think that they are the places and they are the sorts of things that will ultimately differentiate the Irish festival experience for everybody.
Well, Philip, thanks very much for joining us and good luck with Other Voices and good luck to everything you're doing down there in Dingle. We appreciate your overview of the festival industry and we'll talk to you again soon, yeah?
Okay, thanks a million. Bye now. Bye-bye.
Okay, let me bring in my first guest here in studio. He's Barry O'Neill. He's the chairperson of the Rory Gallagher Festival, again, an iconic festival up there in Ballyshannon in County Donegal, which I've also found my way to, I think, 2 years ago.
That's right.
Now, tell us all about your festival, Barry.
Well, the first thing I need to pick up there on the point you're making to Philip is that the first outdoor festival in Ireland was 40 years ago at Macroom Castle.
Made of the mist, was it? Mountain mist?
The Mountain Dew Festival in Macroom. Headlined by no other than Rory Gallagher.
That's right.
And tonight in Crow Park, when you go down to watch U2, Rory Gallagher's first tour manager, one of his tour managers was Paul McGuinness. And also one of his roadies who done his apprenticeship with Rory on the road was Peter Aiken of Aiken Promotions. So this whole thing now of the whole festival and the events and the bands, Rory was one of the people who pioneered festivals and also pioneered the Irish rock movement internationally.
You're so right about that. I absolutely agree. And again, when we think that, you know, I think the first Macroom was 1977. So before that, we'd never really seen anything like an open air gig.
The Dunvarnas, the Bassadairs, they
all
followed
that. So that was all the and how then do you keep? And again, your festival is a tribute to Rory Gallagher. How do you keep it energized over the years, Barry? How do you keep it fresh? Because would I be right in saying a festival has a lifespan and you do need to re-energize it every year, every couple of years?
It's very difficult for us because we're a totally voluntary committee. We're a community festival, effectively, that's grown into an international festival.
Right.
Our tickets this year are sold in 32 countries across the world. People coming from far away as Australia, Canada, the United States. And really, the festival started with 200 people and now over 7,000 come to Donegal. And without the supports of Fáilte Ireland and Donegal Tourism and the local business sector, it wouldn't be as viable as what it is today. And really, at the end of the day, it's a break-even festival. But it was never about the business. We started out this to commemorate Rory 5-6 years after his death. And basically, there was a debate in Ballyshannon in the town of his birth, born at the Rock Hospital. How the irony alone, the Rock Hospital still stands today as a nursing home.
Rock Hospital.
Yeah, so it started as a very small street festival and it's grown in now to an event festival as such and still run by a voluntary committee.
Okay, well, well done to you for keeping the flag flying all those years. I want to bring in my next guest now because she's from the Groove Festival and it's Avril Bannerton. Avril, you're very welcome. One of my first customers in Perk and Baggot Street all the way back in 1998. So thank you for the support in those early days. Now, you're all about fellas doing Pilates and yoga and all sorts of cool hipster stuff. It's on in Kilruddery House in Bray on the 19th and 20th of August. But what is it about Groove that makes it such a cool festival?
So it's really, it's back to just listening to sort of, again, what Philip said, it's all about the differentiation on festivals now. And people are all about experiences and looking for something totally new and different. So Groove is, it's a 2-day festival, summer festival. It's hassle-free. It's very close to Dublin. It's in the most stunning, spectacular venue, Kilruddery House and Gardens, which is in Bray, County Wicklow. It's got over 100 acts between 26 music acts. It's got a full thrive and wellness space featuring motivators, I suppose, inspirational speakers and food, which again, as Philip mentioned, is a big part of it.
In terms of Groove then, Avril, would you be saying then the music is only a portion of what you're doing? Is it so you're expecting families with young kids?
Yes.
I think you say in your background notes here that it's no longer about headbanging with a few cans. Would that be correct?
Really what it's about is what people want now. They want hassle-free. They want experiences. They don't want to imagine them anymore. They want them brought to life. Okay, and that's what we do best. We have an amazing music lineup. The music is very, very important, and it's a big aspect, and it's the way, that's how Groove was formed 5 years ago. So obviously the music intervention is ongoing, but it's all about the different experiences. What we're bringing to the event this year is the whole Thrive and Wellness space, which is a totally new festival, and it will be launching at Kilrodry for the first time. So that's something that will feature a huge amount of acts and lots of interesting...
Sorry about that, there's a phone going off here, and we don't know who the culprit is. It's in that bag, so we'll just put it outside the door. Okay.
So really what we're seeing is that what's on trend now is people are looking for family-friendly festivals, combining music with quality food, health and wellness, and really that's been missing from the Irish landscape. It hasn't really...
Interesting you say that now, because again, I could think of nothing worse than going to a festival with my kids or with toddlers or with babies, or because I just think there's so many other places I could go with them that would be... And I think that the thought of trying to change nappies in a campsite and all that goes with that is just leaves me with sheer horror. But I know lots of people really, really embrace that, do they not?
Yeah, well, turn it around. I mean, think about going down with your kids and actually taking them back home again and popping back into the festival. So that's what I mean. We're totally hassle-free. You can actually take them. You know, there's lots and lots of different places that you can take them to. You can go into your home mindfulness zone. You can actually go and educate yourself. You can learn. You can listen to an inspirational talk. You can boogie on down.
Great.
You can wear your yoga pants. And but that's what it's all about.
Well, I did look at your festival. Two things I really caught my eye. One was that you've got UB40 there, and you also have Primal Scream.
Primal headlining on Saturday night.
Two bands UB40. I'd really, really like to check
out. And some really up-and-coming quality acts supported by the Sony Xperia stage. So we've two stages at Groove. So we've obviously our main headline stage, and then we have our Sony Xperia stage. So we've two stages. We've got, as I said to you, over 26 music acts. We have over 35 movement classes.
Okay.
We have over 25 inspirational speakers and over 15 food experiences and 20 children's free experiences. And last but not least, if you book before the end of the month, the children go free, which is really, really good. I know that's not what you want to hear.
All right, well, that's good. I pay you to take my kids for a few days if you would. But anyway, let me bring in our third guest, because he's Martin Hart from the Trad Festival in Temple Bar. Martin, you might tell us about your festival. It's a winter festival, if I'm right.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a winter festival. It happens in January. We've been running now for about 12 years. I suppose our festival is really all about the music. But again, in a nod to what the other guests have been saying, there has to be a little difference in these festivals. And our festival offers that difference in that the venues tend to be very spectacular, different venues. So we only program in heritage venues, the likes of St. Patrick's Cathedral, St. Michael's Church, St. Werburgh's Church, City Hall, the House of Lords, Rathfarnham Castle, these type of places that you wouldn't normally get to see somebody like Billy Bragg performing in.
Okay,
like he did
so
last year.
The idea being that the environment that the music is played in is really special. It's probably limited in lots of cases by size and scale. So to actually get to a gig in St. Patrick's Cathedral where they can only accommodate somebody in a crypt or whatever it is special by its nature.
It's very special by its nature, and it's another reason to travel. We get quite a lot of overseas visitors. About 33% of our visitors are from overseas, and the rest, interestingly, are from Dublin. We have a huge Dublin audience. Almost 15,000 people come in from the city and around the city to Tradfest over the 5 days in January. But it's not only the historic and heritage venues. I mean, the other element that we do to make it a little difference, we run a series called the Front Row Sessions, whereby we get some of the bigger and better nostalgic bands, like a Stockton's Wing, the Furies, the Dublin Legends, which of course are the essence of what's left of the Dubliners, and put them into intimate pub venues.
Right.
We produce it, and they're free but ticketed.
So it's not really, it's sort of moved out a bit from trad. You're talking about folk, new folk, and
absolutely,
even whisper it.
Bit of rock and roll. We've had the Undertones, and we have some really.
So the Undertones at a Trad Fest. Explain that in terms of that's oil and water, no?
Not really. They had Lillian Piper there as well as part of that, and the Stunning did the same. A couple of years past, we try and do different things in different venues. You'll have the very best of Irish trad, yet you'll have the very best of Irish folk, and new and up and coming folk. A big part of what we do is to provide a stage for up and coming artists. It's Live at the Hub, so we get a lot of international festivals coming to Tradfest to look at Irish music and to export it to America. For example, like Philip, we're heading off and running Tradfest in Milwaukee next month in Wisconsin.
Just before I go back to to the Rory Gallagher Festival, I wanted to ask you, is yours a dry festival? Is it as it, that there's no booze?
Well, there are in the pubs, but the rest of the venues, all our headline venues, are actually dry.
Well,
Holy Spirit is about
and that's
the most
again
you're
not
get there.
Like if you talk about the Dubliners or you talk about the Furies or you talk about any of those bands, you just association of smoke filled pubs and pints of Guinness and all that goes with that.
Well, if you're in the pubs to see them, you'll be drinking pints of Smithwick's as part of Tradfest
because they're sponsors.
Well, they're part sponsors of Smithwick's, so we're very, very happy to have them on board. But the in the churches, the headline venues are all dry.
Okay. Interesting. Let me go back to Barry O'Neill, the chairperson of the Rory Gallagher Festival. And I have a text in that says, the Gallagher Festival in Ballyshannon is amazing. Great crack, even if you're not into blues rock. That's from Peter. Barry, I recall being at the festival. I also recall never seeing so many guys, you know, from the sort of late 70s in denim jackets with sort of long hair. Fellas who were still in that sort of time zone of... And girls, guys and girls. And I just thought it was great to see. And almost for me, being at that festival, the people watching bit of it was almost as good as the music.
Well, I suppose the fact that Rory celebrated, you know, in countries like Brazil to this day, you know, just tributes all over the world to Rory, Philadelphia, Germany, Holland, big festival to Rory in March. And for an artist that wasn't really as commercial, you know, he never done the charts, never done singles. He was a hard-working touring artist like the artists have to do today. Rory was like that 40 years ago. So like the people that come to the Rory Gallagher Festival, as you say, the demographic would be they're over 45, they're German and Dutch, UK, Irish predominantly, and then they're scattered from all over the world. And not alone that, the connections that we make with Rory's life this year, John Wilson, who overcame serious illness and was Rory's second drummer in Taste to play the Isle of Wight Festival those many, many great years ago to 600,000 people, he came back this year and played a headline gig at the festival with John Wilson's Taste band, Eric Bell, Bernie Marsden. Yeah. So they're all of a generation, and the acts are, and then we have the young acts as well that are aspiring bands like The Answer from County Derry that have went and conquered the world with AC/DC, and just like the Tradfest here in Dublin, we're now twinning with festivals such as the Bon Scott Festival in Curriemuir in Scotland, the Notodden Blues Festival in Norway. So those international links also reflects Rory's footprint on the world.
Good. Avril, just again, how many people are you expecting down in Kilrodery for the festival on the 19th and 20th?
We're expecting 10,000 over the 2 days.
Right, that's great.
Yeah, which is fantastic. So ticket sales are very, very strong.
We've just the complexity of getting all this organised. Mm-hmm. Can you just walk us through that? You know, you're rattling off names there. You're talking about food experiences. You're talking about inspirational speakers. Pulling it all together in terms of getting everybody there, getting them in, getting them set up, getting them out for 2 days. Walk me through that.
Okay, obviously a big team effort. So I obviously have a team of very, very, very strong team of 8-10 people. We're massively experienced in the whole food side of things. We've just come off Taste of Dublin, which just finished about 4 weeks ago.
That was your original lab. You worked there. Yeah, so you've done that experience.
A lot of experience. So yeah. A lot of, a lot of festival experience, a lot of, contacts in the whole food industry. And we also have a lot of experience in the family market, because that's sort of something I've done over the last 20 years as well. So really what I'm doing with my team is bringing together, I suppose, a lot of our experiences. We've obviously come together with Roger Duggan from Caleb Music, who has hosted a group over the last 5 years. He's been predominantly sort of music focused with some food offerings and some family offerings, but we're literally just making it much bigger. The site will be 3 times bigger than it's ever been before. Our plans will be to develop that and add lamping down the road, and obviously make it a very, very much, very, I suppose, quality driven, value for money, hassle free. And I suppose really listening, what we're always doing is sort of listening to what people want and bringing that to life.
How much are the tickets?
Tickets are €59.50 for a day ticket, €99 for a weekend ticket. Okay. And as I said, children go free up to the 1st of August.
So £100 for a weekend.
Exactly, and £99 exactly for the weekend. But again, this year we don't have camping at the venue, but there's obviously it's totally accessible. We have shuttle services from the Dart station. It's 10 minutes from the M50 and it's 5 minutes from the Dart station. So very okay. easy. So come on down to Bro. You'll have to come down.
I want to see your yoga pants. I'm liking it. I can see myself doing Pilates on the second stage.
You have to be flexible though.
Last word to you, Martin Hart, in terms of keeping the energy of the festival, keeping it, Barry mentioned it earlier there, reinventing, keeping it fresh. What do you need to do with Tradfest to keep it alive and keep it current and keep it relevant?
Well, obviously you have to keep the mix of programming interesting so that you're attracting a broad range of people. Yeah, and I suppose providing different experiences in different venues and different types of venues. For example, in 2018 we're moving out to Rathfarnham Castle, so it started off in the centre of Temple Bar. It's now stretched into Rathfarnham.
That'll be a bit of a transformation, will it not?
It will. We have some really interesting concerts over in Rathfarnham this year, and the whole idea is to find these magnificent heritage venues that people don't normally go to.
And was that same time of the year in January?
Oh, yeah, it's part of Tradfest.
Yeah.
So we're just Temple Bar is extending its it's extending its tentacles out to Rathfarnham. The good people of Rathfarnham will be delighted to know that. So
there you go, folks. Rathfarnham is the new Temple Bar. So I'm sure the residents' committee there it will really, really be delighted to hear that they're getting their own very own Temple Bar when Tradfest goes there in January.
Property prices will be going up, huh?
No need to thank me.
All right, a big thanks to all my guests. Firstly, to Philip King there from Other Voices in Dingle, Barry O'Neill, chairperson of the Rory Gallagher Festival, Avril Bannerton, co-promoter of Groove Festival, and Martin Hart, CEO of the Temple Bar Company. Good luck to you all, and good luck. Keep doing those festivals because they are part of Irish life, part of Irish heritage.
Down to Business, sponsored by Flowgas. On the grid, off the grid. Flowgas is Ireland's only supplier of LPG and natural gas, wherever you are.